Because baptism here, in a place where you are really declaring in practicality before all that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar, especially when you are in a Roman colony like Philippi, which have all of the right of Rome itself. That was Philippi itself. It was a free colony that has the same rules and regulation as Rome. And that's one of the things that the masters of the girl that have the spirit of Python said in verse 20, that we are Romans and we could not, they are teaching custom that is not good to us in the time of worshiping Caesar. So by taking that stand, she was faithful, that she put her life on the line for the Lord. And that was a clear declaration for her to take a stand for him. And as a result of that is really a declaration that she's faithful to the Lord. Today, yeah, people get baptized, they don't even know what they are into.
But people get saved and they're not baptized.
Right. That's true.
Maybe they will get saved then. But that's a different story.
I would like to go back to the Shunammite woman. That when she brought in the prophet, she said to her husband, "I perceive, like you reminded us, that this is a holy man of God." That's what makes the reception so beautiful. Because Lydia carried the same line almost. But the reality of it is talking about the what made her faithful. I like to look at it from these four aspects. Is that there was a devotedness to the God that she knew as far as perhaps going to the prayer meeting. There was this display that Paul could see that there is a woman have a desire to be dependent upon God. She had that fear you mentioned earlier, or the worship that was toward God, but there was the submission. We talked about the baptism, but if you look these verses, the word Lord is mentioned twice. First, the Lord opened her heart, and then when she says to them, "If thou judge me to be faithful, not to you, brethren, but faithful to the Lord." And I certainly would say that Paul saw features in her that she was submitting to every right of Christ as Lord. And certainly that's where faithfulness comes from. It doesn't come because you are a Christian. It doesn't come because you got saved. But it comes because you have submitted to the rights of the Lord in your life. That's why when the Apostle Paul speaks of things, he speaks as being done in the Lord. Not in Christ, but in the Lord. Because a Christian is saved by the grace of God. But once I submit myself to the rights of Christ, I'm claiming that he is the supreme one over my life. And whatever he says, I will do. And I think Paul saw these elements in her life as it was mentioned.
But I was just also thinking that she did not say, "I am faithful to the Lord, come into my house." She's put it as a question. Let Paul and Silas judge accordingly. And they were able to assess. But she was not boasting in anything. There was the spirit of humility here that enabled Paul and Silas to make the right judgment, that there were the evidences of faithfulness in her.
And I cannot help that she was a seller of purple. I cannot help it that I enjoy it tremendously. Mm-hmm. Because she saw, as it were, by type, the supremacy of Christ worldwide. Mm-hmm. And she was a seller of purple. Mm-hmm. Yes. And brethren, how much are we a seller of that purple, that Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings?
Yeah, figuratively, she continued to sell purple.
Amen. Yes.
Figuratively.
Just one thought, and it says she constrained us. You know, there are those who may say, if we use hospitality, "I invite you to my home." But if the person says, "No, they look, oh yeah, I've done my responsibility as being hospitable." But here, I get the thought that she kind of just put every emphasis in her being to get them into her house so that she may be hospitable to them.
And it gives me an impression also that Paul and Silas were not burdened on the saints of God either. Mm-hmm. They need to be constrained to come in, just exactly I think it was mentioned earlier about the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we enjoy that. The next one is Priscilla and Aquila. And so we have a sister, and now we have a couple. Mm-hmm. And although it's not listed, there's not a text that says they were faithful, but we see features of faithfulness. When they took the Apostle Paul and were companions with him in his work, in his labor, they were shared a common trade as tent builders. But more than this, they were helpers of the Apostle Paul. There was an assembly in their home. But I think the key demonstration of their faithfulness was when they had the encounter with Apollos. Apollos, and we talked about this, passing it on or leading others into the enjoyment of these truths. Apollos came, a great orator, a great speaker, but he only knew the baptism of John. And it was Priscilla and Aquila who took Apollos, put an arm around him and said, come home with us. And let us show you the way more perfect. They were able to instruct him, to ground him, to open up to him some of these hidden mysteries. And to let Apollos, who was a gifted individual, who was devoted to the Lord, but only had a limited scope of knowledge, it was the apostle Priscilla and Aquila who took him into their home, who showed unto him the way more perfect. Mm-hmm.
So, Brother Mark, how wonderful to know that she was acquainted with the Scripture as much as her husband. And the setting was a private setting. It's good to mark this one. It was a private setting in their own home. But I certainly would say an encouragement to the dear sisters, which have been touching on that, because they both instructed it, both. You know what? The highlight was not on Aquila, but both. And dear saints, the divine things, the word of God, the truth of God belongs to the brothers and the sisters alike. Because we will have occasions there's special occasions where you're going to relate these truths to younger sisters. There is this responsibility of let the aged or the older sisters teach the younger sisters. So these matters of spiritual truth belongs to all of us. And I believe that this woman, this sister, was much acquainted with the Scripture, and she was a godly, wise sister.
And sometimes we see that Priscilla takes the lead. And even in Romans 16, when Paul says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So Priscilla had taken the lead, because he says in verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. So they risked their own lives for Paul. But Priscilla took the lead. It's amazing.
So what are the circumstances in which she takes the lead and the circumstances in which he takes the lead? What are those circumstances?
Well, we have to go through all those.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, no, not that we want to go through them, but just the idea that when it is a matter of taking up and teaching, setting the truth forward, as you see in the response with Apollos, it's Aquila and Priscilla. When it's the spirit of hospitality and care, who else steps up but the one who knows it best? It's Priscilla. So it's wonderful to see how these things interchange, and the Spirit of God sets out rightfully the place that each one is to take.
You might say, Brother David, it's mentioned three times this way?
Yes.
And three times that way. So it was balanced and enjoyed by both equally. Mm-hmm.